And he was determined that he was going to graduate from college by the time his boys were graduating. So he took up the GI Bill and was very important as a student here. He got his degree from here after he had been retired from the Navy. But he, being a very interesting and very interested in history and genealogy man, organized and was a very active member of both the Historical Society, and he wanted to have an organization of the history students, and he came up to my office one day and made a suggestion. And I pointed to a little brochure about the Phi Alpha Theta, the History Honor Society, and lo and behold, within more than 6 or less than 2 months, we had a formal application made. Ben took it up. I got a number of my colleagues, and we got a sufficient number of students, plus my colleagues there, to establish a very active chapter on this campus. And we were a center for the Phi Alpha Theta here in California for quite some time, and still are. As a matter of fact, I used to go back to their biennial conventions and attracted the attention of Don Hoffman, the Secretary Treasurer, and really the boss of the Phi Alpha Theta since it was founded, or since he joined it, at least. And I used to attend their meetings. They meet every 2 years, exactly at the same time and coincidental with the meeting, the annual meeting of the American Historical Association. that gave me the opportunity both to represent our chapter at the national or biennial convention and attend the American Historical Association meeting, which I did for many times, and I gave many papers at both institutions. I was picked out rather a short time later, became a counselor, and I believe it was in 1967 that I was made elected vice president, and then president in 1969. That year I remember very much because at the meeting in New York that year, I was deathly sick and spent 17 days in the Hotel McAlpin with the Hong Kong flu, but nevertheless I got up to introduce my predecessor at the annual presidential message and was inaugurated president. I served the office of president, which, by the way, is now the Phi Alpha Theta is an international association, mm-hmm. had become so with several chapters outside the country in the 60s. I was president for 3 years, which is 1 year longer than the normal term of office, because this happened to be to cross over the centennial year. The 1971 was the 50th year, and so instead of having our biennial meeting at that year, we had a special meeting to meet at Fayetteville in Arkansas, where the Phi Alpha Theta was started, and we had a council and extraordinary meeting. But the meeting at which I was the presiding president was in New Orleans in 1971. And I have been connected and closely with Phi Alpha Theta ever since, as well as before. I have installed several chapters, quite a number as a matter of fact, in various institutions, especially out here in the West. And I have had to give the papers and represent the Phi Alpha Theta at many functions amongst those that come to mind offhand was the inauguration of President Lyon of Pomona College and the inauguration of Provost Galbraith at UCSD a few years ago, and at several other occasions I have represented the Phi Alpha Theta. I have given the speeches for the Phi Alpha Theta on a large number of occasions at our dinner meetings, because we always have a Phi Alpha Theta luncheon at the American Historical Association meetings, at the Organization of American Historians, at the Southern Historians, and the Western Historians.
So they break up into regions?
Oh yes, we have now, I don't know, but pretty close to 400 or 500 chapters. Mm-hmm. We have regional meetings all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I was just sent an urgent message by Don Hoffman to please attend the 60th biennial convention, which is to take place in St. Louis. This is a very interesting situation, and one of the few times that we have had our biennial convention at other than with and in the same city of the AHA meeting. The AHA meeting this year is in Los Angeles, right next door to me, and of course I would have attended that without any difficulty, but the expenses are too great. We've had it in San Francisco before when the AHA met, and the deficit was tremendous, and we prefer not to incur that expense. So this year, again, in the honor of the 60th convention, we're meeting in St. Louis, and I wrote and said that I would be glad to attend, because my heart still is in it. That is only one of the institutions in which I served as president.
Did you join when you were at Berkeley?
No, my joining, as a matter of cold fact, at Berkeley when I was there, I didn't even know it didn't exist.
Oh, it didn't.
It hadn't existed then. Phi Alpha Theta was founded in 1921 at Arkansas, and although my good friends had been the early presidents of it, and they did have a chapter much later on, it was much later.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about the Phi Alpha Theta in my college days at its very beginning. I think I have served in almost every capacity and on almost any and every committee ever since I have joined, and have had unusual acquaintances, and knew most of the men who have been presidents as well. That's only one of the organizations of which I happen to be president of. But to get back to Ben Dixon, Ben Dixon got his AB here from this institution and did some work at Occidental, and I helped him get started. He's best known for his great work at the Historical Society here and with the Congress of History, which a couple of years ago bestowed the Ben Dixon Award on me too here locally. They give that award. Ben Dixon himself has an unusual, delightful character. Had an ability to get along with children, with students of all ages and all peoples, and had an unlimited amount of exuberance and vitality that went along. He himself published quite a good deal locally and elsewhere. He has probably belonged to more institutions, genealogical and historical, than I can think of. Not the national ones, as well as especially the local ones, wherever he was during the time. I certainly have a special place in my own heart for old Ben Dixon, whom I helped, and he helped me in many respects as well. That leads me to another topic. There's been an unusual situation. I myself was trained, as I've told you before, as a Western historian or frontier historian. And I developed into a Latin Americanist. But I have, and I've been members of the associations and have written and published a great deal in both fields. But I've never served in a high office in any of those fields. But unusually, I have served in the general history associations. For example, the Pacific Coast branch of the American Historical Association, which is a very vital organization to us, and my first real experience with as members of an historical association in there. Of that institution, I have served in almost every capacity and was president for the regular term. Went through the office of it. That, of course, is the general one. The local one of the Pacific Coast, the Pacific PC. AA, what we call it, PICLES, Pacific Coast Association of Latin American Studies, that's what it is, PCLAWS. I had something to do with the organization of that, and have not only served as its president, but also brought it and conducted one of its sessions here on our campus as well. Incidentally, too, although it was not until we moved and had built the Aztec Center that gave me the opportunity to really invite institutions to have it, because that gave us a place that would be recognized on the campus. Right. And therefore, I brought the Pickles Association here, and I also brought the Pacific Coast branch of the American Historical Association, which had its most successful meeting here, I think, and certainly financially so, because I was able to build up for them quite a reserve. In many ways. What else?
Do you remember what year that was that you had them in San Diego?
Association here? It was, I was president, I think, in 65, and that would be here in 66 or 67, shortly after that, into here. This is the time, too, when I was chosen the let's call it the best teaching award of the the state college system.
Outstanding teacher,
professor in the California State College system, which I believe was 1966. Mm-hmm. Into there, and I've served on the committees in addition after that time on our committees. The I've also served on the committees in town of the San Diego Historical Society. I've never been president, but I've been on the board of directors for a long time. I was instrumental in bringing out Jim Moss, who really made the organization into here, who was the first professional historian to occupy the position of executive director of that group in the here. I've also been associated, and I believe I mentioned that, that I had something to do with the Pan American League here in town. Mm-hmm. And I was also not only a member of the San Diego Consular Corps as Consul of Paraguay, but functioned as secretary of that organization for a number of years.
What kind of work would that involve primarily?
Primarily, it's giving out notices representing groups at times in town.
Be a lot of public relations?
That's all it is. It's public
all?
Relations, yeah. That's what it amounts to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the duties of it, but is part of it is public relations, to keep Paraguay and give out information mm-hmm. about it, and to take care of any Paraguayans that came here, which was very few, and business was not too much. But we represented it on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, during that time, I also have had a great deal to do with a good number of Jewish institutions in town. During this time, I've been president of the San Diego United Jewish Federation, still attend, been on board of, and still am on the board of the United Jewish Federation, as also one of the organizers and founders of the Bureau of Jewish Education, on which I'm also a board member and have been since its founding. And I've been on a number of other institutions.
Now, would the Bureau
of Jewish Education,
would that be mainly for raising scholarship money or?
No, we do that in fostering Jewish schools and within the synagogues and in the day schools, of which we have several
mm-hmm.
Here in town. Oh yes, and as a matter of fact, at the present time, I happen to be the organizing chairman of the Jewish Affairs Council on the campus here. I was reminded the other day, when I found that sort of a certificate that I showed you
mm-hmm.
there, that for quite some time I was the director of the World Affairs Council here on campus and downtown during the summers. of course, when the political science department was created and expanded, they took over the work. And although I lectured for them at times and attended them, I've not had anything to do with the direction of it for quite some time. Among other things, in the 50s, that I recall, what else, in the 50s and 60s, the strangest thing in my career is the fact that I was teaching Latin American history, and I was a member of all kinds of Latin American societies, published in the field as well as my own, but I've never visited Latin America, nor could I get any kind of a fellowship to visit other than Mexico, which of course is near to me and I've been many times. I could always get fellowships to go to Europe, to Spain, and never to Latin America, although I tried. But in 1958, I think it was, or it came to fruition in 59, into there, I became a Fulbright teacher in the University of Chile. And in 59 and 60, I taught in the University of Chile, which was one of the most scintillating experiences of my own, my whole career.
Did you apply for this Fulbright?
Or I forgot. No, I was asked.
Or did they nominate people?
They nominate them. They brought them out. I don't know exactly how I got that. I think I made an I had to make application. There's no question about that, but I've forgotten now who was behind me, although I knew several of the people, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. I knew no one in Chile at the time, and I chose Chile when I applied, and I was given it. We were given a briefing in Washington before going down for a week with the Chileans, both in the Pan American Union as well as the Embassy of Chile that I went to. And during the time in Washington, that was a great experience for me in Chile, not only because that gave me a chance to see how Latin Americans work, or Chileans, who are quite different from other Latin Americans in many respects, but they're substantially Latin Americans in there, and how their university system works, which follows the European pattern during the time, and also how their politics works as well as their bureaucratic system. I taught in what we would call the liberal arts college of the University of Chile. I had to teach one class, which was a class in the history of the Americas, into there. And that gave me time to spend the afternoons in the archives collecting materials on the Chileans in California, which I've done.
Is that a national archives for them that they have
there? National archive, the archives of Chile, are located in the Biblioteca Nacional building, which is right downtown in Santiago de Chile, and not very far from the hotel where I stayed.
So you stayed in a hotel?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, but they had the hotels there. It was a little bit better. They would have given me another
apartment
place.
Or something?
Yes, but apartments are hard, and they have lots of things into it, and it's a little better to have in it. But I got an apartment room in the hotel, which was quite nice. And so Ms. Nasseter could at least cook breakfast and so on down the line. And we also had an opportunity to visit quite a bit of Chile. But best of all was during their long Christmas holiday and final examination period, which is a very long and a different one, we went to see the other South American countries on the East Coast, spending time in Brazil, in Uruguay, and Paraguay, and Argentina as well during the time. That also gave me the opportunity, when I left in February of 1960 to return to the campus here, to at least visit every other country in Latin America. I took 4 weeks to come home and visited every country except Venezuela. Some were only just a short stop, but longer stops in Bogota and Lima and in Quito. I had over a week. It was 2 weeks with Lima, Quito, and Ecuador. Panama. I stayed a couple of days, stayed several days in the others. I did not visit, I missed Honduras and Venezuela, but all the rest of them I visited. On that trip, I did not stop or visit in Mexico, but I have been in Mexico and studied and worked many a time.
Did you run into any revolutions while you were there?
No, the only time I ran into a real revolution was in 1931 in Spain. No, there were prosperous times. I did run into some pretty shaky times in Buenos Aires, but that's all where they had an unusual experience. I use an electric shaver, and because at that time their electricity is different from ours, it's 220 instead of 110, and now all of them have the changes on it, but at that time I didn't, so I had to buy a transformer which looks like a steel bomb, and I have to carry that with me. And they began to search us as we went into Buenos Aires, and they hollered that I was a spy, and they brought me up until the head man in there made a fool out of the fellow that stopped me because he knew what it was. Well, that's the only time I think I was stopped. That's the only time.
What were the students like in Chile? Were they receptive to these courses?
Yes, they're very nice. they're respectful. They're different in many respects. Of course, I was quite protected by an assistant and by others. I don't mean protected in the sense, there's no question about it. This was not any hard times in Chile. Mm. And this was before Allende. And so it wasn't a question of that. I did have two innovations for which I suppose they would have liked to kill me. When I was introduced by the head of the department, whose place I was really taking, and the course his course I was giving during the time, I was a good friend of his. And he was one of the leading historians in Chile. End of year, I told the class that I would ask only for two privileges, no more. One was that they should excuse me if I make some mistakes in Spanish. And secondly, that if they have any questions, please indicate by raising their hand, and I would stop at a convenient place, then stand up and speak slowly. And please speak in Spanish, because I have only a Spanish dictionary, not a Chileno one. Yeah. And the Chileans have a tremendous number of changes.
Yeah.
And they're isolated. And in fact, their idiomatic expressions are so different, you must be careful, as I've warned my students ever since, not to even joke in Spanish until they're absolutely certain to know about it. Because what is absolutely bad language, I mean really bad language, in Chile is good in other countries. And in fact, they're quite so different and so isolated that the books are printed chiefly in Argentina, which has so many slurrings of Italianisms in it that it's hard for them to really use them, but that's the only one they can't afford it. In fact, the most interesting experience was in the drama class over at the Catholic University was giving a performance of Oscar Wilde's
Our Town?
No. What's the one in which he uses so many insinuations? in it. Anyway, I asked them what they were using, because that is a translation from English, and the only translation was that of Buenos Aires published.